the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter number 14. I appreciate the good singing today, the choir congregation, the special singing. I appreciate it so very much. I'm glad for the day that I met Jesus Christ and He changed my life. Amen. It's been different these 37 years since I met the Lord, for He changed me, made the difference in me, and I praise Him and give Him glory this morning. Joshua chapter 14, you will and able stand this morning. Joshua chapter 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 6. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6. The Bible said, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephthah the Kenzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea this spy out the land. Now I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I'm this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephthah Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb son of Jephthah the Kenzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for that day that you reached way down in the pit, the mire, seeing where I was, and lifted me out. I praise you and I thank you for it. Help me now for just a few minutes. I strengthen my voice, strengthen my body. I give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Anoint me by the Holy Ghost. Open the hearts and ears of the listener today. May the word find its resting place. Lord, for that one that's lost, oh, may this be the day that they'll repent and be saved. Help us as your people. May we serve you and follow you all the days of our life. And Lord, everything that you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. I want you to look back at verse number 14 this morning, where the Bible says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephthah the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want to preach this morning, the Lord helping me on this subject, or a question this morning. Will you be a Caleb? Will you be a Caleb? We find here in Joshua 14, the children of Israel are in the promised land. They have had battles as they are taking possession of their inheritance that God has given to them. He gave them vineyards that they planted not, houses that they built not. It was indeed a land that overflowed with milk and honey. It was the promised land, what God had promised to Abraham. Now Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel have finally entered into Canaan's land, finally entered into the possession that God has provided for them. Now I want to say this and get to my thought. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. It is a picture of the Christian life, the victorious Christian life. Because ladies and gentlemen, when we get home to heaven, we won't have to fight no more. There'll be no battle. We'll have, my friend, perfect peace and a glorified body. And that'll be a great hallelujah day for us. But while we're here, I'm glad there's victory for the journey. Amen. I was going to preach this last Sunday night. Don't let that make you nervous. I'm not going to drop the plow. I don't think. As long as you stay with me. Amen. Now, if you get quiet, we might have to drop it. Amen. But I think there's something here for all of us. I preached not to younger folk last week. I'm preaching to them again and the rest of us today because we ought to be like Caleb. Caleb was a man that loved the Lord. Caleb's a man that walked with the Lord. And you and I who are saved, that ought to be our testimony. Amen. I thought about three things about the life of Caleb that ought to be evident in our life, and I'll be done. First of all, I'll look at Caleb's deliverance. For you find in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6 is the first mention of this man named Caleb, and he's 40 years old in Numbers chapter 13. He is a aged man, a middle-aged man, and he has come up out of the land of Egypt. Anybody that was in Numbers 13 had been delivered out from the bondage of Egypt. Now understand this, Caleb knew what it was to have a taskmaster, to have a whip lead to his back. He knew what it was to be a slave. But God delivered Caleb from slavery. Hey, he was under the thumb of Pharaoh. He did as he was told down in the land of Egypt. But not only was he delivered from slavery, but he was delivered from the sentence of death. For in Exodus 11, God tells Moses that the firstborn of the Egyptians, the Jews, the animals, all the firstborn would die if the blood of a lamb was not applied to their door. Hey, Caleb not only got delivered from slavery, but he got delivered from the sentence of death. Hey, can I say this? We that are saved today, we have been delivered. We've been delivered from slavery. We used to serve sin. That's right. Sin said, do this. And that's what we did. Why? We were a slave to sin. But thank God for the day that we got delivered, that we got set free from the bondage of sin. And then we got set free from the second death, which is the lake of fire. Hey, it's good to be delivered. Oh, friend, I have no sad tale about getting saved. Here's the best thing that ever happened to me. Deliverance comes when you get born again. Amen. Some of you are still slaves to sin. Some of you are still under the sentence of death. But you can get delivered today. You don't have to leave here like you came. You don't have to come in here bound down and under the control of a sin in the world. But you can be set free and rejoice in the goodness of God. You see, everything else I'm going to preach will not happen in your life if this first one don't happen. You've got to be delivered. Caleb would have never got in the promised land had he not been delivered. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you, have you been delivered? Now, I want to help a young Christian. I can't give you a date on the calendar. I can't do that. I I didn't know you're supposed to write it down. I'm being honest with you. But I know it was in the spring of 1980. You say, preacher, how you know it happened? I'm the one it happened to. Amen. I know when he set me free, it changed me that night. Hey, I found real freedom when I got saved. So many in this world said, I want no rules on me, no laws on me. I'm going to be my old man, live free. You're not living free. You're enslaved by sin. But when you get saved, you'll find out what real freedom is. Oh, friend, today we find his deliverance. Hey, will you be a Caleb? Will you get delivered today? Oh, I'm glad to be delivered. Not only see Caleb's deliverance, but number two, we find Caleb's dedication. We find that after he was set free from slavery and set free from the sentence of death, we find in our text that Joshua wholly followed the Lord. He was dedicated to the Lord who had delivered him. Can I say this? I'm not serving God to go to heaven. Did you hear me? I'm not serving God to go to heaven. I am serving God because I've been delivered and I am going to heaven. Amen. But since God saved me, I have dedicated my life to the one who did save me. You see, I'm not serving a man. I'm not serving a movement. I am an independent Baptist, but I am not the servant of the independent movement. Did you hear me? Hey, I am serving the one true and living God in Jehovah's His name, and I've dedicated myself unto Him to wholly follow the Lord. You see, in his dedication, you see his submission. He wholly followed the Lord. Hey, you submitting to his lordship? Amen. I am. He is Lord of all. Amen. I have not made him Lord. Did you hear me? I have not made him Lord. I have submitted to his lordship because he's Lord anyhow. You ain't going to make him Lord. You can't. He's Lord already. But you need to submit to his lordship. And I have submitted to him wholly. That word, listen, that word wholly there. It's mentioned three times in our text. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 14, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. That word wholly there, W-H-O-L-L-Y. It means to feel or be full, had to be consecrated, to be satisfied. It means full obedience. He was consumed with following the Lord. That's what I'm doing today. I'm consumed with him, Brother Dallas. He is Lord, he is Savior, and I have wholly gave him my life and said, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. And he and Caleb followed the Lord. He got in line and said, Lord, where you go, I'll follow you. That's what I've done. I hope that's what you've done. Hey, it's good to be able to say, you're holy, follow the Lord. Wherever he leads, I'll follow. I like what one preacher buddy of mine said this. He said, where he leads me, I'll follow. What he feeds me, I'll swallow. And when he calls, I'll holler. Amen. I like it pretty good. Amen. Hey, it's good in following the Lord. It is not a slavery. It is not a drudgery. But it is a joy in serving Jesus. It is a joy to follow him. Yes, even through the valleys, through the snares. Why? Because the one that's leading will bring me through whatever I'm facing. We see his dedication in his submission. We see his dedication in his service. There in Numbers 13 again, he was chosen as one of the spies to go look over the land. And he was obedient to what he was called to do. Hey, he served the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Now, let me say this and word this as carefully as I can. Coming to church is a necessity, You hear me? It is very important. I'll just throw this out in passing. You cannot bypass the cross and be saved. And you cannot bypass the church and be spiritual. Amen. Setting up the house will make you a carnal believer. Amen. Say amen. I don't want to drop the plow. Hang with me. Amen. Going to church will help you grow as a Christian. You can't grow without it. He has set up the local New Testament church where we can come be fed, where we can get our instruction from the scripture. But listen to me. I'm not serving the Lord by just coming to church. To be real honest, I don't know if you could call coming to church service or not. I'm going to let that sink in just a minute. That's got a little deep for some of you. Some of you think serving God just can't make sure you come three times a week. There's more to service than you showing up at church. Amen. Really and truly, Brother Tim, service is out yonder. This is worship in here. This is instruction in the Word in here. We serve out there. If all your service is in the four walls of the church, you ain't serving. Amen. I'm helping us today. Your service is determined out yonder. See, you get your orders in here and you carry them out yonder. That good country talking, you understood it too. Hey, we'll find out what God wants in our lives and we'll perform it out there. Amen. Hey, I'm glad to be in the service of the Lord. Caleb was obedient. He went and helped Joshua and them other men spy out the land of Canaan. But I like how Caleb was when he got back to the camp. Him and Joshua had a staff, and between them on that staff was a cluster of grapes. One cluster of grapes. Now, most of you know what a cluster looks like normally at the grocery store. About like that. If they're having to carry a cluster on a staff between them some pretty big grapes. I kind of like what Mays Jackson and Dr. Ralph Sexton Sr. used to say, that when Joshua and Caleb got done spying out the land, found them grapes and got to eating them grapes and put them on a staff, that when they got back to the Jordan, ate another one out and put it on their head like a shower cap and crossed through the Jordan. You say, I don't believe that. That's why you never get blessed. You don't believe nothing. Hey, if you're carrying a cluster with a staff, they ain't tiny grapes. They're big grapes. And they carried them, brother, back in the camp and said, you ought to try this. This is what's in that land. This is what you're looking forward to. This is what you can have. You know what I try to do when we gather together? I try to get along with God and got me a cluster of grapes and bring it into the sanctuary and begin to hand them out and say, try this. I taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, that's what we're doing here, but we serve out yonder. Amen. Hey, nothing like serving the Lord. I'd rather be serving Him than anybody or anything. Amen. His dedication is shown in His submission. It's shown in His service. Hey, it's shown in His stickability. Amen. When we come to our text in Joshua 14, we find in verse 42, Caleb reminds Joshua, he said in the latter part, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Hey, when him and Joshua come back, them other 10 come back too. And they brought up an evil report. All they could see was giants and walled cities. Well, Joshua and Caleb had seen that too, but they got a hold of them grapes and they realized how big their God was, that their God was bigger than the giants, and they were ready to go take possession of their inheritance. Them other ones must have been the predecessors of Baptists. Amen. The giants were big, and their God was little. Hey, look up here. Look up here. God big enough to save you, wasn't he? Everybody say amen there. God big enough to save. Well, if he's big enough to save you, is he not big enough to take care of you? Amen. So many times the devil and his crowd, the giants of our life arise, and we'll look at the giants instead of looking at our God. Amen. Hey, but when the others were trying to get the people to go a different route, Caleb and Joshua, they had some stick about them. They didn't bow down. They didn't change their mind. They still said it's a good land. Yes, there's giants, but we're well able to take it. Let's go get it. Amen. Hey, friend, we need some stickability. We got enough church folk in the religious world of America at church hops all the time. Amen. Go here a while, go there a while, get the feelings hurt over there, get mad about that, and off we go. Say amen or nod your head. That's how it is. But we need some folk with some stickability. Thank God there are some folk here today that have stuck with the stuff. Amen. They're still in this thing. They ain't thrown in the towel. They ain't quit on God. They're still faithfully serving the Lord. Amen. Hey, friend, Caleb had some stickability about him. I won't throw this out. I thought about this. I preached in Salisbury, North Carolina, back in June, and I was preaching a message that I've preached for years on they kindled a fire. And I got to talk about putting wood on the fire. And there's all kinds of woods. You got to have kindling to get it started. Then other kind of woods you lay on. But from a child, from a little boy, my daddy taught me something about building a fire. And all we had growing up in the wintertime was a fireplace. Didn't have a furnace, didn't have any other kind of heat. At that time, it was just that fireplace. Daddy told us as we was gathering wood in the evening time, he'd look over that wood pile. And Brother Granny said, take that piece right there and set it over here. And kind of noticed that, and we stacked everything. And then he'd set that one right there by the fireplace. And I wondered what that was, and he let me know, that's a backlog. That's a piece of wood big enough that you put it on the fire right before you go to bed, and it'll burn throughout the night without you going back to it. Amen. And if it happened to burn up before you got up in the early morning hours, there'd still be some red hot coals in there that you could put a little more kindling on and you blow on it and it'd catch them on fire. Amen. That's the kind of church folk we need. You're going to be here till, friend, the night is over with and we're at that new day in heaven. Amen. Hey, and if we happen to die before Jesus comes, we ought to leave some red hot coals behind that some of these young folk can get up again and the good Holy Ghost blow on them and a fire strike up in them. Amen. Hey, we need some stickability. Hey, it is not going to get easier. Hey, seducers are waxing worse and worse. The sin is abounding on every side. But we need some folk who have some stickability about them. Amen. We see his dedication by his submission, by his service, by his stickability, but also by his standing. You say, ain't that the same thing as stickability? No, because I'm talking about standing on God's word. For you find out in verse 6, he said, thou knowest that thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Verse 10, he said there, as he said these 45 years. In verse number 12, it said this into that verse. He said, whereof the Lord spake in that day. Let me tell you something. Caleb stood on what God said. Now understand, he is 40 years old when he spies out the land of Canaan. 45 years later. You hear me? He's 85 now. That 85. 85 years old. And he stood on what God said the whole time. Some of you want God to help you something, and he'll give you a verse. But you think that verse means in 3 or 4 days, it'll happen. Not always. You may have to stand on it for a long time before it ever comes to pass. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me real good? I've had God give me promises and just burn them in my heart for my time of trial or whatever I was facing. And I stood on it until God came through. That's what Caleb did. God said, you're going to inherit. Everybody else 20 years and older is dying. But you and Joshua, you're coming in the land of Canaan. And Caleb stood. Hey, you can stand on this Bible. Hey, you can believe it today. It is God's word. Hey, his dedication is seen in him standing on God's word. We see Caleb's deliverance. We see Caleb's, my friend, his dedication. But then let me say this, number three, and I'm about done. But that don't mean I'm done. I'm just about done. I'm going to preach till I'm done. Amen. I'm going to say it again. I sat preaching that open air in that jungle, and that service went over an hour and a half, and they sat there, and they sat there, and they worshiped God, and listen, surely in an air-conditioned building on a padded pew, surely we can say, now, preacher, don't get done till God says you're done. Amen. Give me that book, preacher. Feed my heart. That's how we ought to come to church. I didn't come to get out. I come to get in. Amen. Hey, Caleb's deliverance, Caleb's dedication, but Caleb's desire. Look with me in verses 10 down through 12. He said this, and now behold, the Lord had kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word and to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so as my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain wherever the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fierce. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And we find that the mountain there is called Hebron. Now notice with me, his desire. Number one, he still had a desire for the battle. Are you hearing me? He said that in verse 10 and 12. He said in verse 11 particularly, he said, I've got strength and it's for war. Ain't it amazing? Caleb didn't say, well, retirement's here. I've done my part. Now I'm going to sit back and let these kids do it. That ain't what Caleb did, was it? Caleb, after all, at 85 years old, come in to Joshua and said, I'm ready. I'm not done. I have not put the shield down. I have not laid the sword down. I am not going into retirement. I'm ready to fight. Amen. You know what I'm finding out as I get older? A lot of my friends, preacher brethren that were mentors, they trained me. A lot of them are now in heaven, and some of them are still with me, thankfully. But I watched them as they grew older and all. And you know what? I found out they couldn't jump as high, some of them, as they got older and they preached. I'd seen some of them in their younger days would have scared most Baptists to death. They thought a holiness preacher got in the building. Matter of fact, the way they'd talk in invitation, saying there's 4 or 5 over here need to be saved and 6 over here, had terrified some of you if a preacher got up and done it today. But they walked with God and they knew it. But I saw them as they got feeble, but they didn't quit preaching. You could see in their eyes the fire was still burning in them. They still had more desire at that time to preach than they ever had in their entire life. Amen. We got a friend and he's preached here, Brother Rayton Puckett. man's up in the 80 now and still wanting to preach and still preaching revivals and still giving it all he's got. Hey, he said in his heart, I'm not ready to quit. I'm in the fight to the finish. Amen. I've seen some of our older folk and I know they're tired to come, but I've seen them come in and say, preacher, I've come to hear the word. And then I've seen the same one get excited in the preaching and shout. Amen. You know why? They still got that spirit in them. They still got that desire in them for the battle. Hey, they've not quit. That's how we need to be. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm giving it all I got preaching. I'll be 48 this year, and I'm still trying to preach as hard as I've ever preached. I don't climb church furniture like I used to, but I'm still giving it all I got. Amen. Hey, why? That battle's still raging, and we still need some soldiers that'll stand true and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Hey, Caleb had a desire for the battle. Listen to this. Caleb had a desire for the blessings. Now, I've preached years gone by, Joshua 14. I used verse 12 as my thought, give me this mountain. And I preached on it, and boy, in youthful zeal, climbed pews and hollered and shouted and preached what I had on my heart. But God, let me get something fresh this week. I mean something I ain't never saw in 32 years of preaching. I got to reading along in this text. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, this ain't been stewing in me since last weekend. That's why I'm going to preach till I'm done. Hey, man, I got looking more and more, and he said, give me this mountain. Then I got reading on through verse 14 and found out what that mountain was. Hebron. He wanted Hebron. There's giants there, the Anakims. But he said, Lord, I want Hebron. I want that mountain. Why? Well, Bible names have meaning. Got researching, Brother Bill, the name Hebron. Now listen what Hebron means. It means communion, fellowship. Listen to this one. One who has crossed over. Amen. It means a league or alliance with. Listen, it's a high elevation that results in plenty of rain. Amen. Hebron had 25 springs and vineyards. Man, he got looking at the blessings of God. He said, Lord, I like that communion and fellowship with you. I'm not staying down in the valley. I'm headed up to the place of communion and fellowship, a high elevation. Now listen to this. The first time Hebron is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 13 and verse 18. Preacher, what's going on in Genesis 13? Lot and Abraham separate. When Lot's left toward the well-watered plains, God comes by and says, hey, Abram, I'm here. You're about to get blessed beyond measure, son. And guess where he went? According to verse 18, Hebron. You know what he did there? He built an altar and called on the Lord. There is a law of first mention principle in studying your Bible. Where it's first mentioned, it'll carry that theme throughout the Bible. He said, I'm going to get face to face with God. I'm a getting in where God's at. I'm a going higher. I'm not staying down in the valley. Oh yeah, the giants will be there to try to keep me away, but I'll fight the giants. I'm a going higher. I'm a crossing over. I'm getting in there where God's at and have fellowship and communion with Him. Hey, listen to me, young Christian. When you begin to desire the blessing of God and desire to get in with that communion and fellowship and go higher with God, there are going to be giants in the way, but you just slay those giants and you take off after God. Hey, I'm telling you, that's a place like no other place, that close communion with the Lord. He still had a desire. Can I tell you this morning, my heart desire is to go higher. I want a closer communion and fellowship. Amen. I want folk to know I have crossed over. I ain't a dying in the wilderness. Now, that's where some of you are living in your Christian life. You're in a spiritual wilderness. And it's because you won't go into Canaan. You hear me? What you need to do is cross over. Say, I ain't dying like this. I'm going higher where he's at. I'm getting in where he's at. I'm going to have fellowship with him. I'm going to be in sweet communion with him. I'm going to my spiritual Hebrew. I'm going where God's at. In my heart desire, I want to go further with God than I've gone in my whole Christian life. I've seen God do some great things. I've been in services where the power of God's so strong. I know what, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to scare you. Some of you will. Ain't going to bother GW. He'll know what I'm talking about. But I've been in them services and got overcome by the Holy Ghost. That scared half of you slapped to death. I ain't talking about a charismatic rigmarole. I'm talking about God's presence gets so strong. Hey, I've laid down preaching before. I have. You can ask my family. They've seen me preach so wild, I finally sat down and laid down a minute and preached. Why? The power of God was so strong. Amen. A gentle breeze is good on a hot day, but the same wind can get to be a hurricane strength and take a piece of straw that would normally just blow it around and drive it in the side of a tree. Amen. Hey, I want to tell y'all something before I get done. There's more to this Christian life than what most of you are experiencing. Most of you are living beneath your birthright. Amen. You need to cross over. I ain't talking about a second work of grace. Lord help, grace don't work twice. It works more than that. Amen. I'm talking about you just dying to you and saying, I'm going to go with God. Be like Caleb. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord my God. It's what I made up my mind a long time ago as a young Christian. I wasn't settling for just sitting on a church pew. I knew something would go home with you. Amen. Hey, today, will you be a Caleb? Will you be delivered from Egypt, spiritual Egypt, being lost without God? Will you be dedicated to God? Will you, friend, desire God the rest of your days? You can. You can enjoy it. I'm enjoying this trip. It don't matter me how folk look at me, what they say about me, because they don't talk about if you do something for God, they're going to talk about if you don't do nothing. So I picked which side I'm going to get talked about. It's doing. You don't have to do nothing. I'm going to take the doing. Amen? You say, preacher, you scare us when you get preaching like this. It's talk like, you just need to get acquainted with it. I'm trying to introduce it to some young folk. Because if you're set in your ways and you're not interested, you don't think it's none of what I've said, I don't believe that, that's fine. But I'm going to teach you these young people that they can go after God and get in with him farther and closer than they've ever dreamed was possible. Amen. They ain't nothing like fellowship with God. I've been all alone by myself. And me and him get to talking, fellowshipping. And I've gone to shout when I've been by myself. How about climbed on my desk a few times while I was studying? Because he gets so real to me. Hey, man, you say I wouldn't do it. That's why you're never going to get into Canaan. Hey, man, you too worry what folk think about you. I'm finding a place to put this jumbo jet down. You just hang with me. Amen. You're just going to go home and watch TV. That's all you're going to do and get your food. That's all you're going to do. And the Methodists have already beat you to the little buffet bar and it done messed it up and you're going to have to pick through what they leave. All right? Let's let God help us while we're here. Amen. Learn to keep that desire hot in you for God. How do I do that, preacher? By reading your Bible, by praying, by coming to church, by having that time alone with God, by fellowship with other believers that believe right. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm done. I'm not going to hang around that crowd that don't believe nothing. I will be cordial. You come with me. I've never mistreated nobody. I don't care who they are, what denomination, what religion. I will not be mean to anybody. But I ain't going to run with just anybody. Amen. I'm going to hang around those that like precious faith. Amen. Hey, if you serve God, God will put a friend in your way that believes like you do. Even down there at the schoolhouse, down at work, you would be amazed. If you just get right and get serving God yourself, you'd be amazed what you might find out. Amen. Hey, will you be a Caleb today? I hope you will. Let's finish this thing for the glory of God. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you told me to and the way you told me to preach it. Lord, seal it to our hearts now. Help us to glorify you in all we say and do in this invitation. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I've tried my best to preach to you what the Lord's been burning in my heart for days. And I pray that someone here today has heard the word of God and has let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Maybe there is someone here. You're lost. You're going to lift a hand and say, preacher, that's me. I'm lost. I'm a slave to sin. Pray for me, preacher. Get delivered. Get saved. Anybody in the building, from the floor to the balcony, anybody, preacher, I'm lost. Don't know Christ as Savior. Anybody? See that young hand. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm lost. Lost. Those of you who are saved today, are you dedicated? Will you dedicate yourself? Do you have those holy desires, or will you allow Him to put them holy desires in you if they're not there? Amen. Somebody else, preacher, amen. I'm saved to know it, but I need God to stir me up. Amen. Amen. Lord, I won't be a Caleb, preacher. Won't be a Caleb. Young people, I'm telling you, you can be just like Caleb. You don't have to wait till you're 85. Right now at your age, you can serve God if you just do it. There have been some great Christians live for God as teenagers. You can too. Let's stand this morning. While we sing, folk are coming, will you come? Let the Lord help you today.